see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come on you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. So twice in those verses, he talks about how he's had this desire to come to them, but he couldn't, but he wanted, if he went to them, he wanted to impart to them a spiritual gift, verse 11, to the end you may be established. Even verse 13, when it's verse 12, when it says that that I may be comforted together, verse 12, that I may be comforted together with you by mutual faith, both you and me. Well, there's now a mutual faith. The mutual faith is the faith that was given to Paul by the Lord Jesus Christ for us Gentiles. And now there's a mutual faith. What Paul believed, what was given to Paul, he's written down in the book of Romans, and now is given to us so that we would believe what he believes concerning the revelation that was given to him concerning those three things that concludes the book. But he said in verse 12 that to the end that ye may be established. And then as we looked at verse chapter 16, verse 24, or 25, it says, now to him that has power to establish you according to my gospel. And he'll actually name three things that is able to establish you. So that what he begins to do in chapter 1, he did it through chapter 1, verse 14, all the way to chapter 16, verse 24. And then now in verses 25, 26, and 27, he is kind of reiterating what the purpose of the book was. And that is to establish them. So that it is interesting. Pete was asking me in my study in Corinthians, and I don't intend to get into it. He is more precise on looking at words. There is a little bit of debate that goes on. If you notice in chapter 1, in verse 11, Paul said that to the end that you may be established. And then when you get over to chapter 16, verse 25, now of him that has a power to establish you. So there's no establish, it's establish. And some people that look at the King James as being a more precise English than even modern English point out there's a difference between establish and establish. What Pete was asking me about is in the passage in 1 Corinthians 10, Paul starts out saying, and you'll notice it when I preach it next hour, but I won't comment, that it talks about the Corinthian, or that he goes back to Israel and uses them as an example. And then he ends up saying, now these are written for ensamples. So example and ensample. The end result, it's not like I'm studying the words to try to figure out what's the difference between those words. I know that here, what I've heard and perhaps see, is that in chapter 1, when he says establish, that's the work of getting them to that point. It's the job, establishing them. But then, since you get over to chapter 16, and he says, now of him that's power to establish you, that establish without the ES is the work's done. They're now stable, established. And so one is the process or the job, and the other is the finished result. And you can study that out to see if that's true. Others say there's no difference between the words, but there's certainly a difference in the spelling, so there's something about those words. But the very fact that whether establish or the fact that now at the end of the book, he says, now unto him that's of power to establish you, that the idea of establish is to be stable, to be stabilized, to confirm or to make firm. And so you get the idea of stability in the faith. And that's what the Apostle Paul was doing. And so you realize the purpose of the book of Romans, the reason he said he was writing it in the first place, and what he concludes saying that has been accomplished, is that this letter, the mutual faith that he's written about, is able to establish a believer, to get them stabilized, firm in the faith. And not the opposite of that would be what talked about in Ephesians, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. So Paul is concluding where he began by talking about the fact that that God is able to do that, and the way God is able to establish them is by what Paul has written. So that the three statements that are made in verse 25 and 26 of chapter 16 are actually the three things that are needed to establish a believer. And there's two things to notice as you read those verses. Notice the word "and." So he's going to say three things, like he says, "For now to him of power to establish you," and he's going to name one, and then he's going to say and that's going to be number two, and then he's going to say and that's going to be number three. And not only does he say three things, you'll notice the word "according to." So he actually is very specific on not only what is able to establish them, but based on what. And so I'll read it to you again. Just watch those words. "Now to him that is able, that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which kept secret since the world began but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for obedience of faith." So the three things that he says is able to establish them is my gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, and the scriptures of the prophets. And then he'll actually, he'll declare "according to," so that that you'll find out specifically what those three things are. So when you consider this, that if Paul wrote this, and you see the desire for him to get there, there's other people that went and established the church or got the church started. But Paul wrote the book of Romans just to make sure that they're founded, that they're established in that faith. So the purpose of the book of Romans is a blessing to us, that since he didn't get there and others already started a Grace Church is there, like we saw three of them, that he writes then to make sure that they are established, and he writes this book. Well, that's the Holy Spirit working and preserving it for us so that we might be established. So that when you think about a young believer who comes to faith in Jesus Christ and is, you know, just full of joy knowing that he's saved and gets really anxious to go out and start serving the Lord, then unless he actually, before he runs out and starts serving, unless he gets, like, for instance, into the book of Romans, and that's where we always tell a young believer to start, not the book of John, not the book of Matthew, but the book of Romans, that you start there because he needs to get established. If he doesn't get established, that young believer is going to get confused when he goes out there. He's going to be unstable because he won't be established. So he'll be unstable, and then he'll, when it comes to being standing for the faith or defending the faith, he won't be able to do it because he's immature. He'll end up with confusion, and then certainly disappointment will set in, and because he misunderstands some things and doesn't have the understanding, he might get discouraged totally from serving the Lord. So the goal of a young believer is the first, before you go out and start serving and everything, is to get the doctrine of the book of Romans in you so that you can be established. And so it's important for a young believer to get and to read the book of Romans. So that this threefold pattern, not only do you see those three things written at the end, but those three things, if that those are the things that establish you, and Paul's writing that you might be established, then that actually tells you what the outline of the book of Romans is. Now, I know I did that at the beginning because you always talk about what the book covers. There's several ways of outlining the book of Romans. But basically, if it outlines itself, chapters 1 through 8 is my gospel, Paul's gospel. And then chapters 9, 10, and 11 is the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And then verse chapters 12 through 16 is the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for obedience of faith. That's the practical section of the book of Romans. Usually we'll divide chapters 1 through 8 into two sections. We'll call verses 1 through 5, chapters 1 through 5, justification, and chapters 6 through 8, sanctification, or we would say the gospel and then identification. But when you really think about it, if Paul is trying to accomplish these three things and this is the outline to Romans, chapters 1 through 8 will be Paul's gospel, first how to get saved and the identity that you have once you are saved. That's That's part of being saved. You're not just saved from sin, but you're saved to serve. And so that establishment is the means by which you realize your identification with Jesus Christ, set apart for his service. And then what he would have you to do is certainly chapters 12 through 16, but even before that, that dispensational section of 9 through 11, that you're not Israel, you're the body of Christ, and that's a real important part of what he means about Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. So that's how the outline is. Now, when back in Romans chapter 16, verse 25, so now of him that's of power to establish you, and the first thing is according to my gospel. Certainly that's where it all starts, not only getting saved, but understanding where you find your gospel. A person can't be saved without believing the right gospel. In fact, I always share this verse, Ephesians 1 and verse 13. We always use it for talking about security. But there's something else said in that verse that just jumps out at me. And when he talks about Christ at the end of verse 12 of Ephesians 1, he says in verse 13, in whom, that is in Christ, ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now that's really important, because you can't be saved by Israel's gospel. When Paul says, now of him that's able to establish you according to my gospel, Paul speaks about my gospel, was it three times? And that's a reference to the specific revelation he's been given that he calls here your gospel. That is, the gospel of Gentile salvation, or the gospel of the grace of God in this dispensation. Acts 20, 24 calls it the gospel of the grace of God that Paul was assigned to go out and preach. So a person, I mean, you talk about being established or stable. A person's not going to be stable. They can't even be saved until they believe Paul's gospel. That's the only gospel that saves. Israel's gospel is a gospel of the kingdom. We'll talk about the difference of that in a minute. But not only can they, you know, a lot of people get saved because they believe Paul's gospel. A good fundamental Baptist, when they try to get someone saved, they call it the Romans Road, because they know to go to the book of Romans and establish all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And that's eternal separation from God, a spiritual death in the lake of fire. But God committed his love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And that, I'm not sure which one to grab for the believing, but the idea of believing. Anyhow, you go through the book of Romans that you're a sinner, and the penalty of sin is death. And then, but the gift of God, Romans 6:23, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the whole idea of Romans there is that we are justified on the basis of faith apart from works. So a person that uses that can get a person saved. But if they haven't identified that that's Paul's gospel, that person is not going to be stable, because someone's going to come along and start saying, oh no, you have to endure to the end to be saved, don't you know? And they'll take them over to Matthew 10, Matthew 24. They're going to say, oh no, James says it's not enough just to believe. You got to do more than just believe. So they take you over to James. And once you realize, no, we're not saved by James' message to Israel. We're not saved by the preaching of Jesus Christ when he came to preach to the nation of Israel. We're saved by the revelation that was given to the Apostle Paul. That's the gospel of our salvation in the dispensation of grace. That we're saved by grace through faith, apart from works. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So once you realize that comes out of Paul's gospel and that unique revelation given to him, Romans chapter 1 started out that way. If you still got Romans chapter 1, the beginning of the book started out, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience of faith unto all nations for his namesake. So Paul is an apostle separated unto the gospel of God, and it concerns Jesus Christ, who in the past, his coming is from the seed of David. He's declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. And Paul's message then is to carry that gospel message out to the nations. And certainly Romans chapters 1 through 5 specifically talk about Paul's gospel, and certainly 6, 7, and 8 talk about our identification in the Lord Jesus Christ as part of our security in Christ by that gospel message. Now, it depends how clear you are on things, but how much you remember, but in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, those are two verses that you ought to know, because what we're saying is a person can't be established until they understand they have to be saved by Paul's gospel and understand that it's Paul's gospel. Well, Paul says in Galatians 1, 11, he said, "I certify that the gospel I preached, I received it not of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." So Paul's gospel message isn't a gospel that was preached before him. It was a gospel he received by revelation. It's the gospel of your salvation, and it's the first step in you being established as a believer to realize that the gospel that you believe is Paul's gospel, not the gospel that was preached before the Apostle Paul. And so when you consider those things, just get Matthew chapter 7. And then get Romans chapter 11. No, Romans chapter 10. Now, we taught this already, but as I said, that Paul is going back and giving a short synopsis of what he's been teaching them, so that certainly the things we're going to say, Paul's gospel, all those things, we're just kind of repeating. But for the sake of realizing how important it is to understand that in order to be established. In Matthew chapter 7, it says in verse 24, this used to be one of my favorite Sunday school songs when I was a kid, comes out of this passage. It says, verse 24, it says, "Therefore, whomsoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, for it was founded upon a rock." Yeah, but I'm thinking the whole illustration wrong in my head. Let me read it again. Built upon a house. And the rain, wait a minute. I'm going to read over, so it's in my head. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and..." Oh, is that what I said? Fell not? I didn't say not? Oh, okay. All right. I had the illustration right. I didn't say the words right. "For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." And so that song, I hope many of you remember that song as a Sunday school song, you know, about the rains came down and the floods came up, but the man who built his house upon the rock, it stood firm. But the statement made there, it says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them." So that when you're back here about Jesus Christ to the nation of Israel, and especially under the law, there's things they had to do. When you say hear and do, now before I take you to Romans, come back with me to Deuteronomy. I'm going to show you two verses there. Deuteronomy chapter 5, and then we'll jump to chapter 30. And I'm showing you the difference between the gospel Paul preached, called the gospel of the grace of God, and what was preached before the Apostle Paul. So like in chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, just verse 1, it says, "And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them." So the nation of Israel, the idea here is they had to hear and they had to do. So if you look at Deuteronomy 30, this is where we did the comparison before. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 11. It says, "For this commandment, which I command thee this day, is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou wouldest say, Who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that we should say, Who shall go over the sea for us to bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh thee, nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. I have set before thee life, this day life and good, and death and evil." He says, verse 19, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." So the whole point is, the law is hear and do. That's why you keep reading about that in the book of James. You don't just hear the law, you got to do the law. So that's the program to the nation of Israel. Now compare that to Romans chapter 10. And this ought to sound familiar to you. And verse 4 says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man that doeth those things shall live by them." Well, Paul got that right. "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thy heart, Who shall ascend up into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above." Now Moses was just talking about where to go get the law. But Paul's talking about we don't have to go up in heaven to go get Christ. He's already come down to earth and died and went back to heaven. "Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead?" Now we don't have to go down into hell to find Christ because he already ascended up out of the Hades there and has ascended back into heaven. "Or who shall ascend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou should confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." When it comes to Paul's gospel, it's hear and believe. Israel's gospel was hear and do. But that's the difference between the gospel of the grace of God. In Israel's gospel, it's called the gospel of the kingdom, and what was preached to them is that they needed to believe is that Jesus is the Christ. When you come to Paul's gospel, the preaching centers around not the kingdom, but the cross. And what you're to believe is what Jesus Christ accomplished in his death, burial, and resurrection, the full, complete payment for your sins, so that there's nothing left to do but to believe. And so you see that it's important to realize the difference between Paul's gospel and Israel's gospel. And it's not enough just to believe that Jesus is the Christ today. You must believe what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross, put your faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in order to be saved. And when you do that, since you're in Romans 10, just flip back to chapter 8. Here's how you can be established. We said 1 through 8 is Paul's gospel. "Now unto him that's able to establish you according to my gospel," Paul says. So pick up in verse 31. "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? For it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. 6, 7, and 8 is how you're in Christ. The whole point is you're saved because he made the full payment. You're justified on the basis of faith and you're placed into Jesus Christ and you're secure. Now, wouldn't that establish a believer? if they learned all those lessons and come to Romans chapter 8, the first step to being established is Paul's gospel, and they've got Paul's gospel in those chapters, and they're established. The first step of being established is realizing that truth. Then in Romans chapter 16:25, the second step, and that's where it's important to go past the verse, you know, the verse numbering, and just read what he's saying here. Notice, after he talks about my gospel, it says, and. So now we're going to look at the second thing that's able to establish a believer. It says, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And you notice, then comes the word and again. So that second thing, you know, you don't stop at the beginning of verse 26 and think that the word but starts something else. That word but is in contrast to a secret that's been kept secret since the world began, but it's no longer a secret, but now is made manifest. So that the second thing that's able to establish a believer is not just the preaching of Jesus Christ. It's the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Come over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians chapter 11. Paul starts out saying, would to God that ye bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye may well bear with him. So Paul's afraid that someone's going to come along to the Corinthians and preach another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel, other than what they received when Paul preached to them and they received it. So certainly we've already talked about the gospel, and certainly someone who doesn't rightly divide is going to preach another gospel some point or another, and that's what the whole book of Galatians is written about. In the middle, the second one there was another spirit, and preaching another spirit is not talking about the person of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, but the spirit there has to do with when Paul received revelation and what he is writing is from the Spirit of God, those words are spiritual words. And what he's talking about is the doctrine that he delivered them, that they received. So someone would come along and preach another spirit, a whole other set of doctrine other than Paul preached. He's worried that they would bear with him. But it starts out that someone would come along and preach another Jesus whom we have not preached. Well, there is another Jesus other than the one Paul preached, because there's Jesus according to prophecy. There's Jesus according to what his promises are to the nation of Israel. There's Jesus, the Messiah of Israel. There's Jesus, the one who's going to come and set up his kingdom on earth and be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So there is that Jesus Christ that's preached. But Paul, what we're seeing in the book of Romans there, he preached Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And when Paul preaches Jesus Christ, he doesn't preach Jesus Christ as Israel's Messiah. He preaches him as the one who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He preaches Jesus Christ as the head of the church, the body of Christ. He preaches Jesus Christ as the one who's going to come himself, and we're going to be caught up to be with him in the air, to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He preaches Jesus Christ as the one who is as the head of the body, and all things, principalities and powers in heaven are under his feet, and we, the body of Christ, have that position. We're seated with him in heavenly places. Paul preaches Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. And someone who doesn't recognize that doctrine, next week we'll remind you of that statement, and I'll take you back into Romans chapter 11, where Paul said, don't be ignorant of this mystery, because if you're ignorant of that mystery, you can't be established. And certainly that's the church today. Believers are mixed up on the gospel, so they're not established, and they haven't realized the revelation of the mystery that was given to the Apostle Paul, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to that revelation of the mystery. And they're not established in the second point either. So we'll talk the second point and the third point next week, and then wrap it up the week after that with a look again at verse 27. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the opportunity, maybe just quickly remind ourselves of things that had already been taught as we went through the book of Romans, so that that we may stop and remember how important it is, the things that we've learned, that we be not ignorant of these things, so that we are and will be established in the faith. Pray for the fellowship time that we have, that we plan for every beginning of each month on the first Sunday, that the conversations would be beneficial to the encouragement of the saints. And so we thank you for this time and for the refreshments. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.